Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, it is so awesome to be here, and I came here one of those times we got together, and I got to visit the church here and go get a huge meatball from next door, and that was awesome, and I loved it, and I think I brought like 10 people since then to the meatball anyway, and Ryan's easy to mentor. He is hungry. He is hungry, and he has vision, and he has heart, and he loves you, and he loves this church, and he loves the work of this church. And then Pastor Ron Bergio is, Pastor Ron was the president for 10 years at Elam Fellowship. Just so you're clear, there's a Bible school called Elam Bible Institute. Michael Cavanaugh is the president of that, but Pastor Ron was the president of Elam Fellowship. We have churches. We have 257 churches, 186 missionaries, and about 970 credential holders, pastors, and leaders. And not all of their churches are a part of us. So he was leading that, and I served him. And then, lo and behold, he put my name forth to come and be the president. And I said, man, I don't want that. There ain't a day I would want this. And here I am. So you don't always get what you want, right? I mean, that's the way it goes. And one of those trips over here to visit Pastor Ron at our favorite Bob Evans, I got to meet Pastor Marty. And I just really, really thank you, Pastor Marty, for the way you've shown care to me and love. And I know you're really close to Pastor Ron and good friends. Thank you so much for raising a good son and a great church in Batavia here. And it's an honor to be here. I don't take it lightly that I'm here. I've been married 30 years to the same woman that would have me. Isn't that cool? 30 years. And we have three children and one grandson. And I'm really depressed about one thing, and that is my daughter, who has given us a grandson. Her and her husband live in Syracuse, New York, and they're youth pastors full-time. However, they just announced to us that in 2 weeks they're leaving to go live in Oklahoma, taking our grandson, which is, there's a law against that somewhere, right? I mean, and they're taking our only grandson to live in Oklahoma. They've taken a position with Greg Rochelle's church. And so I hate Greg Rochelle. And no, I'm just kidding. I loved Greg Rochelle. But our only grandson, if you want to come up afterwards, I'll show you pictures. So I am a proud grandpa. And I know I don't look that old, but I am. Okay, And then I have a middle son named Josiah. Josiah is a hip-hop artist. He just actually made a new album. You can get it, Josiah Ball. And he is a youth pastor and an assistant pastor in Rochester or Chi-Lai, North Chi-Lai. And then I brought my youngest son, who's married to a beautiful lady named Sarah. And this is Elijah. You heard him wave or saw him wave earlier. Elijah is working for a ministry called BASIC, Brothers and Sisters in Christ, as a campus ministry. And he's full-time raising support like a missionary here in the United States, which is 10 times harder to raise money for support in the United States than it is if you're going to go to India or something like that. You know what I mean? So, but they're doing a great thing. People are getting saved on campuses. And so that's a little bit of a rundown of who I am. I just wanted to give you that just to give you some context with me. My wife, Carol, cannot be here tonight because after I leave here tonight, we have a conference every year. This year it's May 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And I'm actually picking up one of the leaders who I'll speak about in my message in a few minutes. But he is Moffat Kilioba. He is the president of PEFA, which is Elam's work in Kenya, Africa, 3,000 churches. It's amazing. And he's arriving at 11 o'clock tonight at Rochester Airport. He's going to live with me for 5 weeks. Jesus is Lord. And my wife, I'm going to come live with Pastor Ryan because my wife is mad at me right now. I'm just kidding. So, hey, one of the things I want to share, I'm aware of the time. I know that the pastor told me to finish before 10. So here we go. All right. And I will. And finish before 10. And that is one of the things that I was a car mechanic for years before I became a pastor. Been pastoring for 30 years, got into ministry a little bit before that. And I was a car mechanic. That's what I did. I worked on cars. And I used to make my money back in the day when what would happen was you worked on commission, 50-50 is what they called it. And the faster you worked, the more apt that you would get money, more money, because you get jobs done faster. Maybe you would do a job that would normally take 10 hours in 6 hours. You got paid for 10 hours. That's how you made your money. And so one of the things that used to frustrate me is when I would go into the auto parts store and I'm waiting for a part and they answer the phone to five customers while I'm standing there with money. Are you with me? I mean, it's like you put me on hold. The more recent experience of frustration for me is when I'm calling somebody and I get put on hold while I'm waiting. You know what I'm saying? In fact, I don't know about you, but last week I was in Mexico and 9 trees fell down in my yard while I was gone. And I was calling RG&E to turn off the electricity. And I called them, and they put me on hold. I mean, this is like a big deal. You know what I'm saying? And I get music, and then I get a voice. And it's almost 20 minutes before I finally talk to somebody. How many have had those kinds of experiences with a doctor or whoever? You know, you're dying and you're calling the doctor and they say, hey, push one, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so over time, it's been kind of frustrating to me to be put on hold. And I was thinking about in the Bible how many people were put on hold. For example, Jesus said to his disciples many, many times, they said, hey, are we going to go now? Are we going to take on the Roman Empire? That's what they were thinking. And he said, my time is not yet. You're on hold. My time is not yet. Mary and Martha, they came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, if you had not put us on hold, that's my phrase, if we hadn't waited and came 4 days you made us wait, Lazarus would not have died. Because God put them on hold. God, Jesus in the flesh. And then I thought of David. Remember David? He was in the back corner of a house, and the prophet came in and anointed him and said, you will become the king of Israel. 16 years later, he was put on hold. 16 years later, he finally became the king. And then I was thinking about Moses. Everybody knows this because you've watched the Ten Commandments, even if you don't read the Bible. And that is, right? 40 years, because it was a short journey into the promised land, but Moses was put on hold for 40 years. 40 years. I think about the different things. In fact, during worship, I wrote a couple things down in my notes that God spoke to me. Here's one of the things I wrote. It says, first of all, Proverbs 13 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you're put on hold, it's easy to get sick, get discouraged. But here's some of the things that I've realized, that sometimes we feel like we're put on hold. Some people are still waiting for that job. Someone in this room has been waiting for that career job, that career move, and it's like you've been put on hold. Some of you in this room are single, and you've been put on hold. I wish I could change my Facebook status, for crying out loud. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm still on hold, waiting for that guy, waiting for that girl. Parents can't wait for their kids to get out. They're still on. No, I'm just kidding. That doesn't work, okay? You never really rush that, okay? Teenagers, I met several of them earlier here, can't wait to get your driver's license. You're put on hold. Some of you are looking for a clear direction from the Lord. You've even heard prophets speak to you, words, and you still haven't seen the fulfillment of that. You're put on hold. Some of you have been praying for a healing. You've had pastor do like he did tonight. My son is facing a really difficult, this one here is facing a disease that's in his body, ulcerative colitis. And when Pastor Marty was praying, I just laid hands on him again. Every morning when I'm on the treadmill, I'm praying for Elijah. Every day when I'm getting on my bike running, doing this, I'm praying for Elijah, but he's still on hold, waiting. And then another one, you wish you had more money. Every time you turn around, it's like, I'm just functioning on such, I wish I had more income, and you're put on hold. the title of my message is this. When it seems like God puts you on hold, don't hang up. You ready? Say that. When it seems like God puts you on hold, say it with me, don't hang up. That's the title of my message. In 27 years pastoring the same church as a senior pastor, I saw so many people come down the aisle of the church when God seemed to do things for them. When God miraculously touched their lives and they got saved, born again, became a follower of Christ. But the minute it seemed like God was making them wait, they hung up. I see it all the time where people, while they're put on hold, they hang up. I gave you several biblical illustrations of people being put on hold. My wife, I said she would be here, but my friend Moffitt, she's making the house ready for him to come and stay with us. Otherwise, she'd have been here. Her favorite verse in the whole Bible is Jeremiah 29:11. That's yours too. Glory to God. All right, 29:11. I hear that verse quoted so many times, but I started reading it one time, and this is where this message began to be birthed in me, because I read it in context. I'd never read it in context. I just quoted it like most of you. I know the plans I have, you says the Lord, that kind of verse. But in the context, what you've got is the people of Israel have been put on hold, watch this now, 70 years, not 40, 70 years. Because of their rebellion, they were held in Babylonian captivity. And what we're going to read in chapter 29 in a minute of Jeremiah, what we're going to read is a letter that was sent from the prophet Jeremiah, who was back in Jerusalem, and the elders are still in the town. They're still held in Babylonian captivity. Similar to like the United States sometimes. You feel like the United States has been put on hold. And they're held in captivity. And for 70 years, you find out in the text there, for 70 years. This one I'm going to read to you is a letter that was sent from Jeremiah to the elders who are still put on hold. So if you want to turn to that, I'm going to start reading from Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to start from verse 4. And it says this, New King James Version. Here he goes. Thus says the Lord. Let me just say this now. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, who I've caused to be carried away. Time out. Caused to be carried away. Caused to be carried away means that I caused them to be on hold. Sometimes we blame the devil, but God is saying, I caused them to be on hold. I've caused them to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what he says to them. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget their sons and their daughters. And then take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they can bear sons, grandchildren. And then that you may increase there and do not be diminished. They're going to be around a long time. And seek the peace of that city while you are caused to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For when you pray for the peace of your captors, you will also have peace. That's what he's saying right there. And then he says this, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which cause you to be dreamed. For they will prophesy to you falsely, to you in my name, but I did not send them. Thus says the Lord, and then he goes on, he says this, thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work towards you, and you will cause you to return to this place. There's your verse. Here's the verse, right while they're held in captivity. For I know the thoughts I have for you and think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, but to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. When God seems to put you on hold, what is it? Don't hang up. Come on, say that. Don't hang up. When God seems to put you on hold, don't hang up. So then what do you do? In this passage, in these verses, in this letter, I see four things that I can draw from this letter. That if you're on hold tonight, I don't know how many of you are on hold, but I've got a feeling some of you are in a holding pattern. And you felt at some point, I'm going to hang up. What do we do? Number one, stand and live for Christ. Number one, stand and live for Christ. He says, hey, you're going to be around here a long time. You need to plant some gardens. Do life like you do. Raise a family. Get married. Raise kids. Let them get married. Live life faithfully unto the Lord. That's what he's saying to them. While you're there, even pray for peace. Stand and live for Christ. My friend Moffitt that I'm picking up tonight, 8 years ago, I went to his house. Pastor Ron actually introduced me to him, but I met him earlier. I didn't know it was the same guy who went to Bible school with me. And I'm sitting in his living room. This is the guy that I told you that has 3,000 churches. He's a warrior of God. And we're sitting in his living room, and he says to me, Pastor Chris, is there a possibility that you have anybody in your church that can, you know, fix knees? My knees need to be replaced. They're wore out. And I said, Moffitt, listen, I pastor a church where there's 127 people in the town and 8,000 cows. We have a veterinarian. I don't know any doctors. You know what I'm saying? They're farmers and teachers that came to my church. But I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, Pastor Moffitt. I'll pray for you. So I started praying for him. I went back to the United States. I was in his living room in Kenya, and I went back to the United States. 2 years later, I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm watching the news one night, and this still was in my heart. And all of a sudden, on the TV, this doctor was given testimony of how he went to Nepal, India, to help people with broken bones and hip replacements and all that kind of stuff. I called that doctor, he's in Syracuse, New York, and I said to him, I have a friend named Moffitt Kilioba, and if I brought him to the United States, would you consider the possibility of helping my friend with knee surgery? He's supposedly the best surgeon, knee surgeon, in Syracuse area, right? And he said, I'll think about it. I called my friend Moffitt on the phone, and I said to Moffitt, I said, I found a doctor who's thinking about it. Lo and behold, Moffitt shows up at my house 10 days later. He lives in my house for 2 months, eating everything in my house. He's become my very best friend because I feed him. And I'd love to bring him here and meet you. He's a wonderful guy. You've met him, Pastor Ron. And he's just an amazing guy. But he comes believing the doctor said yes. I heard, I'll think about it. He heard, yes. But he's been on hold a lot longer than me. And so, sure enough, long story short, my friend one day was with me when we got the call. The doctor said, come in and let me see him. He examined him. He had gotten 70 people to sign off. Doctors, x-ray technicians, the lab, the hospital, everybody signing off to do this surgery for free. Right before we went into the hospital, he went to another friend, because I ran out of food. That's not true. But he went to another friend's house, Brent Culver. And Brent Culver is a pastor that cuts wood for a living so he can be a pastor at the church. Well, Moffitt, this guy who is the senior pastor and the bishop and the overseer of 3,000 church, is helping my friend Brent cut wood so that he could sell these logs. They split it and they cut this. And he's with him for about a week and a half before he goes in to have surgery. In fact, the doctor said to him, what are these little scars on your knees? He said, I've been cutting wood, helping my friend. He said, stop cutting wood. We want to fix you. He went in to have surgery. That day, there were 13 patients plus my friend who went in for knee replacement surgery. All of them had one knee replaced. He had both knees replaced. Strong African man. Doctor told me I almost broke my drill on his knees. He was so strong. When the surgery was over, you know, nowadays when you have knee replacement surgery, they get you up the next day and they start walking you. Well, Moffitt, this is just his personality. He was standing up there, And he says to the people in the hospital, in rehab, all free for him, by the way, two brand new knees. He says to all the people, he goes, okay, are you ready? One, two, three, hallelujah. And everybody goes, hallelujah, like that. Well, Moffitt, he was out of that hospital before any of the other 13, and he went back in to visit the doctor, and he said to the doctor said to him, why in the world do you think you get your strength? We've never seen anybody recover as fast as you. And he said to the doctor, I cut wood. When you're on hold, continue to live for Christ. Stand and live for Christ. Do what you do. Don't run. Don't escape. Stay in what you're doing, and God will provide a way. Come on. Number two, what do you do? I've got four things. Number two, here we go. Seize discernment in the midst of many voices. See, it says, stand and live for Christ. So I have all S's. Just follow me along here. I was a Baptist before I became Pentecostal. Stand and live for Christ. Seize discernment in the midst of many voices. Listen to what it says here. It says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor even listen to your dreams, because it's the pizza from the youth group that you ate. Sometimes we get dreams when you're desperate, when you're waiting for that marriage or that guy or to change your single status, when you're waiting for money, that job, when you're waiting and you're ambitious. The biggest thing that happens is Christians give you false prophecy. Listen, they want to give you encouragement. That was their heart, but God never spoke to them. Listen, I'd rather get a word from the Lord than a word from somebody that's trying to flatter me. And he's saying, be careful. In fact, the trouble is, I remember being single, waiting for that girl, man, at Elam Bible Institute. I knew at least three or four of them would like me. I was begging. And I dreamed that maybe it's this one, maybe it's this one. And finally, my wife came along. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When you dream and you're in a waiting pattern, it's easy to hear voices that are not from God. Faith comes by hearing T.D. Jakes. I like T.D. Jakes, but faith doesn't come by hearing T.D. Jakes. Faith comes by hearing any guest that you want. No, faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord, the word of God, hearing and reading the word of God. Not regurgitated word, a fresh word from God. Not a word you heard 20 years ago. What are you saying to me right now, God? When you're on hold, come on, say it with me. Don't hang up. Stand and live for Christ. Number two, seize discernment to hear his voice, because there's many voices. Oh, God, what do you want me to do? God, I want to speak your words. I want to act your words. It's impossible to please God without faith, and faith comes by. Come on, say it with me. Hearing and reading the word of God. Number three. You having fun? I hope this changes your life. It changes mine. Because I'm on hold sometimes. And I know what it's like to want to quit. I know what it's like to want to say, well, let me go a different direction. Because I'm impatient. Remember, mechanic, waiting for the parts man. Phone. Stand and live for Christ. Seize discernment in the midst of many voices. Listen for the S. Savor the thoughts that God has for you. Embrace the thoughts that God has for you. Savor them. Chapter 29, verse 11. I know the thoughts I have for you. Savor those thoughts, because he knows the thoughts he has for you. You know, I could read the rest of it, but listen, if you're starting to think when you're on hold, if you're starting to think evil, ugly things, it's not from God. He says that in that verse. These thoughts that I've got for you are not of evil. They're to give you a hope. savor the thoughts that God has. If you start to think negative, it might be your thoughts or an evil one's thoughts. Are you with me? And if you really study the original words in that passage, it really means this: I alone know the thoughts I have for you. What's your name? Natalie, only God knows the thoughts he has for you. Sometimes you have some thinking, your parents have some thinking, they're tuned into God. Other people have some thinking, but the real deal is this: only God really knows. That's why you got to tune in when it seems like you're on hold, see? So Natalie, only God. You know what? He's a busy God. The Bible says in another place, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? When my boy was, not this one, but Josiah, was 8 months old. I think it was 8 months old. I like to wash dishes because men should wash dishes. The Bible says that. As a man wipeth the dish, so will I turn over Jerusalem. So it's in the Bible. Just a thought. Okay. And I also love to watch babies. I love babies. I love changing the stinky diapers, everything. You with me? So one time, you know, for the first baby, Sarah, Carol wouldn't let me near him. You know what I'm saying? But by the time you have Josiah, Carol says, okay, you can watch him. So I was watching Josiah one day, and the dishes needed, you know, washing. So I said, I can do two things at once. So I put Josiah on the table right behind me, and I'm over here washing dishes. And I'm turning around going, hey, there, baby, Josiah, how you doing? And I'm washing the dishes and stuff like that, right? I'm washing them. Hey, baby, how you doing? And I'm like this, washing the dishes. Next thing you hear, boom. Oh, my goodness. I had to pick him up off the ground. And he rolled off the bed, the table. And he had a goose egg right here on his head. And I was scared to death. Not because of Josiah, because my wife was coming home. Are you with me? And, man, that was a journey right there. That word, I will never leave you nor forsake you, means this: I'm never too busy with China. I'm never too busy dealing with President Trump and the things he's facing. I'm never too busy where I neglect Natalie. Because I really like Natalie. I like the others. I'm busy in Vietnam. I'm busy in every nation. But I still care about Natalie. And I know the thoughts I have for her. I will never neglect her. Isn't that powerful? Embrace his thoughts. Savor his thoughts. Thoughts not of evil, but of good. Amen? Number one, what do? Stand and live for Christ. Say that to somebody. Stand and live for Christ. Number two, seize discernment in the midst of many voices. The third one, savor the thoughts that God has for you. I'm going to quickly end this message right now. It's always good if you can't be good to be short. Hopefully I'm short and good, right? Seek the Lord with all your heart. It's right there in the Bible, verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me or search me. For me with all your heart. I think God gave me this word tonight for your congregation here today, pastors. I just feel like there's some people that came into this meeting tonight, and you hear church and you go through church, but you're like, when is God going to respond? Seems like I'm on hold. Seems like, when will this ever transition in my life? When will I get that boyfriend? When will I get that girlfriend? When will I get that new car? I don't know what your issue is, but I got, let me just ask you, how many of you have some place where you say, I feel like this was for me, I'm on hold? Raise your hand right there. Pastor, look at that. Here's what I'm going to tell you right now. Don't hang up. I came not to pray over you individually tonight. I didn't come to do anything supernatural. God can do all that. You're on hold. But this much I knew I came to do, to tell you, don't quit. Don't hang up. Stay in the game. My wife, you know, is a preacher. She loves to preach. Man, just recently we were we were at a conference, and you know, I got up there and preached and did an amazing job, quite frankly. She got up there, and I'm listening to her, you know, and after a while, you know, you're kind of like, hey, come on, honey, just keep going, baby. You can put some fire in. They talked more about her sermon than I could even dream of asking them. I'm not taking her with me anymore. I mean, that's it. She's amazing, right? She was called to preach and pastor before I met her. I met her, and we became a team. But there was a season when she was raising this little guy and all this, you know, brother and sister there, and she couldn't preach. She was too busy. You know what she did? She wrote sermons as if she was speaking on Sunday. So when the door opened, she was ready. She was ready. When you're on hold, come on, stand and live for Christ. Someone say that with me. Stand and live for Christ. Then let's stand right now, please. Come on, stand up here. Amen? Stand and live for Christ. Stand and live for Christ. Seize discernment. Don't run crazy. Don't call a prophet and pay $16 a minute to go get a prophecy. Come on. Seize discernment in the midst of many voices. Now I know this is Pentecostal. I got music for this. This is cool. I love it. Come on. Seize discernment in the midst of many voices. Savor the thoughts. I bet Natalie is. I bet Natalie is because I picked on her. But I think she's thinking right now, this is cool. Why? Because I think God was thinking about her specifically tonight. I don't know why. But he cares enough to reach down and put his finger on you and say, I'm thinking about you. And I know the thoughts I have for you. Nobody else does. Right? And then lastly, seek him. Seek him with all your heart. Can I pray for you? Close your eyes so you can give people privacy. That means don't peek. Father, I just thank you so much. I can tell this is a good place. I can tell this is a place where you visit and you meet with people. You never leave us nor forsake us. You never ignore us because you're too busy with Pastor Ron's church. You care about Pastor Ron's church. You care about Pastor Marty's church. You care about the individual sitting next to me. You care about me. And so, God, for that, I commit today. Pray with me quietly, but I'm just saying, listen to these words. I commit today to stand and live for you. Just tell them that. God, I commit today to stand and live for you. Speak to me, Lord, so I'm not confused about your voice. I want to hear your voice clearly. Give me discerning. Give me discernment. Lord, I also ask you to tell me what you're thinking. Give me some insight. I know your thoughts are higher than mine, but you've given me the mind of Christ. So, Lord, I want to know your thoughts. So teach me your ways. And Lord, I promise I will seek you all of my days. And it's in your name we pray. And everyone said, God bless you. Thank you.
That was amazing. I want to do one more thing before we close. I'd like Pastor Chris and Pastor Ron come up here. And then I'm always very mindful that there's power when somebody just lays their hand on you. And if you two would come up here and just stand in front of me, I'm going to ask if there's anything in your heart tonight. They're not going to, I don't want you to ask questions. I don't want you to, they're not going to counsel you. All they're going to do is walk by you and touch you, lay your hand. If you want that, I want you to come down, just make a line right here, Pastor Ron and Pastor Chris, come up here. I just want you to be able to do that. Praise God. Natalie, God's picked you out tonight. He's going to do something. He is doing something great in you. Anyone else? anyone else. Would you two just work from that end and just meet in the middle? Just lay your hand out. Lord, we praise your name, God. Praise your name, Lord God. We honor you, Lord, tonight. Church, just all of you where you're at tonight, just pray, if you would. If you need to leave, you can leave. But if you would just right where you're at, if you just close your eyes and pray, and let's just believe God for something great in every one of these lives. Every person that came down tonight, they're searching, they're seeking. Maybe they're on hold. Maybe they're struggling. Maybe for some, they've already hung up. The great thing about God is you can call him back, and he'll answer you, show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord, tonight. Praise your name, Lord, tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. This is precious in the house of God tonight. Don't ever get bored in God's presence. A moment in his presence can take care of you for a lifetime. Enjoy that. Just take it all in right now. We love you, Lord. The word of God is preached. We read the word. We heard the word. The anointing of God's Holy Spirit is upon the house and the people here. God's doing a beautiful work in people's lives right now. We thank you for that, God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Every single one today. Every single. Pastor Rod and Pastor Chris are going to continue to pray. I want to close in prayer. Dismiss the rest of you, those that are up here, if you just remain for a few more moments together. God, I just want to say thank you tonight for the word of the living God. When we're on hold, we will not hang up. Pray for everyone that's maybe in that position, one way or the other, God. Give us the strength to stand, seize the moment, to seek the counsel, God, and to seek who you are in our lives, in the moment, in that minute of our lives, God. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Those of you that are up here, please stay till you've been prayed for. I love you. God bless you. Go in his grace tonight.